Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, getting ready to launch into a holiday weekend. Praise the Lord for all of our members of the military. And on Monday, Memorial Day, I'm going to play a show that we did last year. I usually don't take Memorial Day off, but I'm going to in this case because they got a bunch of travel coming up this summer. So we're going to play a special Memorial Day from last Monday, from last Memorial Day. Had a lot of callers, had a gentleman that served in the military, and to honor our men and women that paid the ultimate price and have died in the service to the country. And so we'll do that on Monday, and then hopefully on Tuesday, because I did this last year, I've done it many years, and open up the phones for people to call in, for you to call in and honor any members of the military, but predominantly members of the military that lost their lives in service to the country. So we'll catch up on Memorial Day on Tuesday, but I'm going to play that special Memorial Day show on Monday, which was really powerful. We had some great callers reading some things from former presidents, and kind of a really pretty intense way to end the show that day. So that'll be played on Monday. But a lot to get through today, and I'm going to get to Mike Johnson, Congressman Mike Johnson. I interviewed him Wednesday morning about the Equality Act, which is anything but the most egregious attack on religious liberty probably in the history of the country. And they actually passed it in the House of Representatives, including 8 members of the Republican Party. And I talked to Mike about that, about the radical nature of the liberal left coming out of the closet lately, and as well as them removing, so help me God, from many of the swearing-in ceremonies for witnesses, expert testimony in Congress on the House side where Mike serves. So I'm going to get to that. But I wanted to tell you real quick, three breaking news things today. The Missouri governor signed the bill banning abortions at 8 weeks. That's Governor Mike Parson just today signed a bill that bans abortions on or beyond the 8th week of pregnancy without exceptions for cases of rape or incest, making it among the most restrictive abortion policies in the nation. So that fight is continuing to ramp up, headed towards the Supreme Court someday in the not-so-distant future. Out of France, 8 people injured. So far, from what I can find, nobody died, praise the Lord, but multiple people were hurt Friday in an explosion near a bakery in the French city of Lyon, which French President Emmanuel Macron described as an attack. Police are searching for a man that they believe to be the perpetrator. They're calling it a parcel bomb, so definitely going to end up being terrorism once again. So let's keep our world and that specific that topic in as a matter of prayer. And then President Trump, of course, came out today to uncover the origins of the Russia investigation for all to see. This is from Fox News. He approved the declassification of documents related to the surveillance of his campaign during the 2016 presidential election. So the left's all in a frenzy now because this is just part of the cover-up. Part of the cover-up of what? That's a troubling question, right? Because they don't really have an answer for it. Well, we'll let you know when we find it. Golly. Nutso. Before departing the White House for a trip to Japan, the president defended his decision. He said that he had overridden the Democrats are saying he's overriding longstanding rules on classified material. Trump said, "We want to be very transparent. So as you know, I declassified everything." Trump told reporters, "We are exposing everything." The president said his decision will ensure that investigators looking for the origins of the probe have everything they need, quote, so they'll be able to see how and why this whole hoax started. He reiterated his charge that the probe was an attempted takedown of the president of the United States, and he added, quote, "You're going to learn a lot. I hope it's going to be nice, but perhaps it won't be," unquote, which is just kind of part of President Trump's usually bizarre way of communicating. Anyway, those are big issues, big items, so we'll keep an eye on those as we move throughout the day and the weeks to come. But this is from my conversation Wednesday. Mike Johnson was just one of the greatest legal minds in Congress, especially when it comes to religious freedom. He was one of the top dogs at Alliance Defending Freedom for years. He's a good friend of mine. He's helped me with a lot of things in the activism world here in my home state of North Carolina. And so Mike is just a great go-to source. I asked him if the equality bill, which I spent an entire show about earlier this week, that passed out of the House last Friday, is the equality bill as bad as it seems? Here's what he said.
It is that bad. You know, it's really difficult to overstate, Steve, the devastating impact that this bill, H.R. 5, would have upon really all of American society. I mean, you think about what this is. For the first time in our history, we have legislation being advanced to ban honest disagreement, to institutionalize postmodernism, right? To legally prohibit any acknowledgement of the objective reality of biological sex. That's what this bill does. And by elevating these vague categories of sexual orientation and gender identity to protected classes under the Civil Rights Act, you have to recognize this is going to go across the whole labyrinth of the federal law. I mean, it involves every aspect of federal law: employment, housing, education, federal funding, credit, the jury system. I mean, employment, all aspects of the free market, business and industry. So the so-called Equality Act would just cause immediate chaos in our culture and in the courts. And of course, as you pointed out on the shows, I mean, it would threaten the privacy and the safety and just the most fundamental rights of every citizen in this country. It'll eliminate religious freedom and pro-life protections. It'll invalidate existing statutory protections and separate facilities and even athletic competitions for women. I mean, this thing, I think it's the most outrageous piece of legislation that's ever been filed in the U.S. Congress. And that's saying a lot, Steve. So it's dangerous, and we've got to stop it.
And that was, and Mike, believe me, this is not a man given to hyperbole. He is a devoted Christ follower, born-again Christian, a brilliant legal mind, one of the best minds on religious liberty and religious freedom in America, and especially in Congress. And so you hear it in his voice as he describes these things, kind of a bit of a state of disbelief. And he's in the House of Representatives, which passed it a week ago. So now it goes to the Senate. Hopefully it'll die a fast death there, but who knows? But he's going to talk about it later when everything changes hands. You're not always going to have a Republican president. You're not always going to have a Republican Senate if the Congress and the president and the executive branch are taken over by the Democrats again. This will become law. This will be the law of the land. So I asked him kind of where would be the first area to be hit? What would be hit first and what would be hit hardest? I'm just going to begin his answer on this, then we'll pause it and get back to it when we come back after the break.
Well, let's say this at the outset, and I know that you are careful to articulate this, and we want to as well. Let me just say first that Christians, conservatives, okay, we believe that all people, including those in the LGBT community, are created equally, right? That's what the founders, that's what we believe. We believe that everyone is because we're created by God, we all have an estimable dignity and value, and we ought to be able to freely exercise and enjoy our inalienable rights. That applies to everybody. But it is precisely those convictions that require us to oppose this destructive piece of legislation. Because,
and we're going to pick it up there talking to Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana, a dear friend of mine, dear brother in the trenches up there in Congress, about the radical so-called Equality Act, which is anything but. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. Thanks for being here. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. At the bottom of the hour, around the 4:30 break, we're going to have a gentleman, brand new guest to the show, Jeffrey McCall, who's organizing something called the Freedom March. It's in Washington, D.C. tomorrow and some other places around the country. You will not hear about this march or the people that are a part of it anywhere in the mainstream media because it does not fit their narrative. Because Jeffrey McCall is a former transgender. People go, how's that work? Jeffrey will explain it to you. And so that's happening when he calls in at about the 4:30 break. But right now I'm playing through the interview. I had a chance to talk to my buddy, Congressman Mike Johnson, on Wednesday morning, the foremost thinker, authority in Congress. He is in the House on the issue of religious liberty. We're talking about the Not-So-Equality Act that was actually passed out of the House a week ago with 8 complicit Republican votes. Now it goes to the Senate, where hopefully it'll die a quick and painful death. But one day, if the Democrats control the Congress and if they get the White House back, whenever that happens, this is on the train tracks. This is normal for them now. This type of legislation is normal, and they will make it the law of the land. And this will be the single biggest and most effective attack on religious liberty that we've seen since the founding of the country. Okay, that's why this is such an important topic, and that's why I spent some time talking to Congressman Mike Johnson. He was explaining, you know, we look at everybody, LGBTQ, whatever, everybody's going to have inestimable worth. They're all made in God's image, and that is true. So we have to remember that. But then you got to deal with the issue itself, which is what Congressman Johnson was talking about here in this clip.
Look, true diversity and tolerance are really, they're really only possible when a nation preserves the freedom of its people to hold different beliefs and upholds religious liberty and the rights of conscience and parental rights and the sanctity and security of every single human life. And legislation like this flies right in the face of that. So you would see threats to religious belief and religious freedom and the right to act upon our religious beliefs, because it would now be made unlawful to just the most basic thing, Steve, to just acknowledge the objective reality of biological sex would become illegal. I mean, just imagine the implications of that.
Right.
You know, we talk about parents of adolescents. You're the parent of an adolescent. The adolescent wakes up, he's a little boy, and he decides he's a girl because of something he was taught in the new curriculum at school, which would also be imposed by all this. And he wants a doctor's appointment. The physician would be prohibited from acknowledging that your son is a boy if he goes in and self-identifies as a girl. He would be required under federal law to provide hormone treatments and puberty blockers, which have all sorts of detrimental effects, of course, physically, psychologically, and every other way.
Right, because to say no to that would be discrimination.
Right, it would be against the law.
It would be like saying, so the African-American walks into your dental practice and you say, sorry, no matter what they're there for, you say, sorry, I'm not going to help you because you're African-American. It really gives that same, and that would be a shocking thing to all of us, as it should be. But the Equality Act, so-called, would have the same force, wouldn't it? I mean, that would become the new reality under the federal law, is that you couldn't discriminate on based on somebody's gender identity, which, like we both know, is people that, and I'm so glad you said that, Mike, that are inestimable worth, created in the image of God, whether you believe them or not, whether you agree with them or not, whether they know the Lord or not, is irrelevant. They still have inestimable worth. We're not saying that. We're not coming against that. We both acknowledge that. Praise the Lord. But yeah, it's scary, the far-reaching implications of this.
Well, and look, it applies to everybody. You and I talk all the time about evangelical Christians. That's who we are. But I mean, this would apply to anybody who believes that we are created male and female.
Right.
I mean, that's certainly not just evangelical Christians. I mean, certainly you've got, you know, Orthodox Jews and Roman Catholics and Muslims and people of no faith tradition at all who take science seriously, and they will be on the wrong side of federal civil rights law if this thing ever became part of our statutes. And you know, thankfully the great blessing is, right now this bill has zero chance in the Senate. I certainly believe and hope and pray because we have a Republican majority there, and of course even if it passed the Senate, I'm quite confident President Trump would veto this monstrosity. Okay, but here's the big alarm to sound. This is very telling. Okay, if the Democrat Party, and it's the way it's currently constituted and the direction that it's moving, if they're ever able to take control of both houses again and the White House, this will become the law.
Oh yeah,
okay? Because they'll demand it, and it will dramatically change everything that you know and believe about American society. And crumble the foundations of the Republic. And that is not hyperbole. That is a fact, because this thing is so broad sweeping. And look, I want to point this out too. You know, I serve on the House Judiciary Committee, okay? My committee is the one where this came through first, all right? And I am convinced that even some of the co-sponsors of H.R. 5 have no idea of its actual meaning and scope.
Yeah.
But in our committee, Steve, in the markup of the bill, the Democrats unanimously rejected our amendments. Okay, we brought an amendment to insert protections in application of the Bipartisan Religious Freedom Act, and they rejected that. They don't want any religious exemption of it. I brought an amendment to ensure parents have the right to be involved in medical decisions and hormone treatments involving their minor children. They unanimously rejected that. We brought a bill to allow healthcare providers to just affirm the biological sex of minors. They rejected that, okay? We brought an amendment to prevent biological males from competing in and thus destroying women's athletics. They rejected that unanimously. So at least the primary authors know what's going down. They have a very specific agenda. Many of the co-sponsors who jumped on because of the happy name of the bill, the Equality Act,
right,
I'm convinced just have no idea what they're doing.
And then I went on to ask, and remember, this is the normal Democrat Party now, okay? It's not like this radical, wild thing that's way out there. We don't have to worry. No, this is who they are now. And you see that in the younger Democrats coming up with AOC and Ilhan Omar and all of those guys. This is exactly who they are. This is the norm. Then I asked him about that, the radicalization, quote unquote, the normalization, really, them coming out of the closet. And why does Congressman Johnson think they're so overt with it all now?
If you and I had been having this discussion, you know, 5 years ago or less on the air, and we said there would be a day very soon where one party in this country would go to the floor of the United States House and openly advocate for socialism, for infanticide, for removing, you know, God's name from congressional oaths, from pushing this gender identity stuff, people would have said that we were making it up, that that would never happen in America. That's total hyperbole, and you guys are being alarmist. But that is literally what's happening right now. And what explains it, Steve, is, of course, you and I have been talking about this for decades, the gradual slippery slope, the slide, as we have untied from the moorings that began this country, that made us the great exceptional nation that we are, the foundations of religion and morality. The sea of state, so to speak, has drifted further and further away from the safe harbor. And now we are out in these wild, uncharted, crazy seas where anything goes. It's full-blown postmodernism, where there is no recognition of truth anymore. Everything's relative. Everything can change. Everything's evolving. I mean, really, this is the full-blown extension of that philosophy, and it's frightening to think where it will go if, to be very frank, we do not have a serious and great spiritual revival in this nation. And at the end of the day, that's what this is about. It's what you talk about all the time, and it's absolutely true.
And that's Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana, the foremost expert on religious freedom in Congress and all of Congress, and especially there in the House. A longtime friend of mine, and he helped us a lot. We've been in the trenches a lot together. He's been serving in Congress for about 3 years now. And alarming stuff. That's why we need to be praying for those in authority over us, whether you voted for them or not. Every one of them needs prayer, to say the least. This nation needs prayer. This nation needs revival in the church and awakening in the streets. I've got another thing from Mike that I'll play in the fourth segment. But when we come back, Jeffrey McCall, the founder of the Freedom March going on in D.C., which nobody will cover. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Stay away from that guy. He'll totally take over. He'll take over your life. He'll take over your house. He'll take over your time. He'll take over all that stuff. And praise the Lord for it. That's a great song from my buddy Matt Papa. Stay away from Jesus if 10% is enough. If you just don't want to give much, if you don't want to, if you want to retain total control of your life, which is the autonomy movement, which has been the human movement for years, stay away from Jesus. Ex-LGBT men, women to share stories of transformation at Second Freedom March in Washington, D.C., which is something you almost never hear. You hear about it on this show. Walt Heyer's a good friend of mine. I've had many people that have left various lifestyles through the power of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Word of God. But that never makes it into the mainstream media. That goes against the narrative. So, of course, they never want to talk about it. Men and women, this is from the Christian Post. Men and women who once lived and identified as LGBT are set to proclaim how encountering Jesus transformed their lives for the second time in the nation's capital this weekend. That's tomorrow in Washington, D.C. It's called the Freedom March, founded by Jeffrey McCall, who joins us by phone today. And Jeffrey, so appreciate you calling in and taking the time. I know you're slammed with everything going on tomorrow, but praise the Lord for this and the movement and what you're doing. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So we've got about, you know, 9 or 10 minutes, but if you could tell us real quick, Jeffrey, and unfortunately you and I have never met before, but I'd love to get to know you and have you on the show again. But tell us real quick about your own story and how the Lord kind of changed the direction of your life, and then we'll talk about the Freedom March.
Yeah, so in my own life, I lived in, I just developed a homosexual identity very young. I acted out on my feelings, and I didn't really have any direction or anyone to help me with that. And it led to me, around 27 years old, playing around with the idea of starting to live as a woman. And eventually I started seeing psychiatrists and psychologists. I was diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and I lived as a woman. I went by the name of Scarlett. And in 2016, I just had an encounter with God, and I really just, I cried out to him for help, and he heard me. It just changed my whole direction. You know, I was planning to start having surgeries and to become this woman that I thought was going to make me happy. But the further I went into living transgender and trying to become something else, the further I went into it, the heavier, just the heaviness fell over me, a depression. I was suicidal. And like I said, I called out to God, and he really changed the direction of my life.
And what kind of, because that, I mean, praise the Lord for that, obviously, and that's a huge blessing, and the lights come on and the scales come off your eyes and you begin to see the truth and know where your identity is actually found. But living in those communities like you did, what was it like to all of a sudden you're kind of, because I would imagine they're perceiving that as you're turning your back on them, and your freedom is a condemnation of their very lives. So what was that like for you to deal with that?
Yeah, well, I didn't know the Bible very well at the beginning, and I read everything Jesus said is what happened, you know. I had to lose my life and my whole life sense, including all the people around me. I lost about 95% of my friends, and it was there that I was just alone with the Lord and really got to grow with Him. And it was, because what it does is when you believe the true gospel of Jesus Christ is a separation and a division that comes with those born again and what they believe and stand up for God and those that don't. So I love them. I bless them. I pray for them. But yeah, it definitely caused a division between my old life and my new.
Yeah, and unfortunately, people like yourself, Jeff, and many others that I've had on the show, once you kind of you experience that freedom and that delivery, and God helps you walk down the road of learning who He created you to be, and we all have our struggles. People say, born gay, born this. I'm like, listen, we're all born with struggles, so I don't put a bunch of people in a bunch of different silos in that way. But moving forward, you just don't hear much. Of course, it's against the narrative. The people on the left, the people, the pro-homosexual crowd, the pro-transgendered crowd, they never want to hear from people like yourself. So what's it been like to just try to get the word out?
Well, it's been a challenge, but we keep doing that. A lot of the mainstream media will not share our narrative because it goes against the norm. But the thing is, when someone's lived that life and left it and has a story, it's just hard to deny their story. And what I'm doing with my story and others is gathering that to help share and let so many people see my story and so many other stories, because it just builds the true narrative that there is freedom and that you can leave that by the grace of Jesus Christ.
And so tell me what was kind of behind the beginning of the Freedom March, and this will be your, I think this is the second year, right? So tell us how it came together, what it was like last year, and what was the reaction, and then what are you expecting to have happen tomorrow?
Yeah, so I was asked to speak and share my testimony of leaving my transgender life. I was asked to speak in D.C. about that, and when I went to D.C., this was 2017, the thought just came to my mind, and I said, why don't we have a march where people like me can have a voice? They need a platform. They need a voice to share their amazing stories. So I just started it, and I knew it was going to be an event with testimonies, and then we were going to, I wanted to also publicly march in D.C. And so we had our first one last year, May 5th, in Washington, D.C., and we had the testimonies. Then afterwards, we got behind a huge banner, and we went on our march route, and we marched proclaiming that we left those lifestyles by the freedom and grace of Jesus. And so that's how it was started, just to give a voice to so many others who have the same testimony or similar ones, and that so they could share their story.
Yeah. And what was the reaction there? Did you have some people in the homosexual community come out and kind of stand against you, or what did you run into as you did all this?
Yeah, we actually had a group organized against us. They had a website and everything. And come to find out, a couple of weeks before the first Freedom March, and the group broke up. There was two women that were in a relationship that were, I guess, spearheading it, and they broke up a couple weeks before the march, and supposedly the whole thing fell through, and they didn't even show up.
Yeah, well, I'll give the Lord some credit there on that one.
Yeah.
And then what's it been like for the people that come out that, you know, and I know you have, and you have several people involved with the Freedom March, and that's freedomtomarch.com is the website, freedomtomarch.com. But you have several other people that are on the board, MJ Nixon, who's a former homosexual, Edward Byrd, same thing, former homosexual, Kimberly Zember, former homosexual. What's it like for them to it's got to be difficult to all of a sudden come out and start talking about this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's difficult in a way, but if the Lord wants you to do it, and just like He laid on my heart, He laid on their hearts to go share, then He just gives you a grace to do it and a strength, a supernatural strength to do it. We also have Louis Ruiz and Angel Colon on the board. They are actually both two survivors of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida. They survived it, and they started following the Lord soon after the shooting, and they're actually sharing their stories too this year in D.C. They travel with us to all the freedom marches. So, yeah, there's a lot of testimonies out there that are amazing.
That's so great to hear, and I hope that, at least in the Christian media, that more and more people will be talking to you and having you guys on. Tell us about the march that's taking place in other cities, because it's not just in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so last year we did D.C., and then in November we did Los Angeles, California. This year we're doing D.C. D.C. will be every May, the national one. And then after May, every year we travel to other cities. So this year we will be in St. Minnesota on Sunday, June 23rd. And we will be in Orlando, Florida on September 14th.
Yeah, it's so exciting to see all of that. And God bless you. And you're exactly right. That's the truth. I mean, when I first started getting involved as a Christian and kind of left the safe confines of the pews there in the church and began to talk about the things of God and to try to share the truth of God's word in a compassionate and patient way. You walk in, there's a lot of trepidation, there's a lot of fear, you're worried about the backlash, but as you know, Jeff, because you've experienced it yourself, there's a supernatural power that comes into you that's already there through the Holy Spirit to give you the strength and the courage and the words to stand up and do it. And it's some people think it's not a nice thing to do, but it's actually quite a loving thing to do, especially to tell the truth on those subjects.
Yes, that's what we do. We always share. I always tell people, do it the way Jesus did it. Share with grace and share with the truth. You know, he saved the woman from being stoned, and that was showing her great grace. And then he told her, looked at her and told her, go and sin no more. He shared the truth with her.
Yeah, that's right. One last thing, and then we're going to run out of time here in about a minute. But Jeffrey, speak to all the people listening to you today and on the show. Just in general, how should we as Christians approach the homosexual and transgendered community? Just in general.
Just in general, like I just said, giving them grace, but giving them the truth also, loving them. Jesus Christ of Nazareth in Jerusalem years ago, he not only died for people that always identified heterosexual, he died for people that would struggle and have a false identity of homosexuality. He died for everyone. So always look at those people as someone that was important enough for Jesus to die for.
Yeah, what a great point. Jeffrey McCall with the Freedom March going on tomorrow in Washington, D.C., and then a few other places around the country. FreedomToMarch.com, FreedomToMarch.com. Jeffrey, God bless you for being out there and telling the truth with grace and love. We really appreciate you calling in today.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope that we can talk again soon. That was, again, Jeffrey McCall. What a great story, and that's what we need to do. And whether it's homosexuality, transgenderism, whatever you came out of, whatever God delivered you out of, whatever lifestyle. We all have all sinful lifestyles. If you're a born-again Christian, you have a story as well. You have a former lifestyle that you lived, and we need to tell those stories with grace and tell the truth. This is Steve Noble. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and just love having people on like our last guest, Jeffrey McCall, who God delivered him. He got saved, and then he came out of he was in a homosexual lifestyle as well as going down the transgender road, and God delivered him out of all of that. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to get to this flag story out of North Carolina, but I wanted you to hear one other thing in terms of the name of God. Okay, so help me God. So we were talking to Congressman Mike Johnson earlier in the week and pre-recorded the interview, and I asked him about it because he was the one that let this out publicly, that the Democrats, when they took over the House, changed a bunch of rules. And one of the rules they tried to change, and they have changed in most of the committees, is that when they bring expert witnesses in, you know, put your hand on the Bible, and then so help me God. Promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Signifying something. There's not only is that a part of our history, okay, and our tradition. But there is a reason why you include that. And the Democrats in the House are trying to boot that out all over the place, okay? So I'm going to play Mike's information. He's going to share with us about that. And then I'm going to jump to this flag story out of North Carolina. And if I have time, there's one other thing I wanted to get to that Ben Shapiro was talking about with respect to, quote-unquote, the constitutionality of abortion, which is a joke. But this is when I was talking to Mike Johnson on Wednesday and asked him about this flag nightmare, or not the flag nightmare, so help me God nightmare in the House of Representatives. Our House of Representatives. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, when the Democrats took over control of all of our committees when we began this new 116th Congress in January, among their very first actions were to change all the rules of the committees. And so, for example, one of the committees I serve on is the House Natural Resources Committee. And it's customary when the new chairman, the new party takes over, they send around proposed rule changes, and then we go and meet for the first time and vote on them to adopt the rules that will govern that committee for the remainder of the Congress. Well, they sent around the draft, and it, in the very beginning on page two, one of the first things we do is there's always a provision about how you will swear in witnesses, because often and very frequently, of course, congressional committees take testimony from experts and witnesses on various subjects. So they had this striking thing that jumped out to us on page two of their proposed rule changes, where it says, "So help me God," at the end of the witness oath in Congress. It was in red with a big line through it. They wanted to strike out the phrase, "So help me God." So we called them on it, and they caught them flat-footed at the meeting. They didn't think anybody would object, I guess, or wouldn't notice it. And so the chairman of that committee, Grijalva, claimed that it was just a typo and an error. They didn't mean it, and he rolled it backwards. Well, then I go into House Judiciary Committee and Energy and Commerce and all these other committees on the Hill, and they're all doing the same thing. And so we've had a big knockdown dragout in the Judiciary Committee about it, and Chairman Nadler and company have basically just now started turning my microphone off because I keep calling them out on it. Here's the point. Can't remove God from the oath. There's a very important reason that it's there, and it has been since the founding of the country. I mean, it was the Judicial Act of 1789 that put the phrase in for the swearing in of judges in our courts. Every witness in the country takes an oath. I mean, every president has taken an oath concluding with the same words, and every member of Congress. There's a reason we say that, because the founders understood just what you were talking about, the stop signs and the red lights. They had to have the American people acknowledge and understand that we owe a responsibility to a power higher than the state.
That's right.
This is not just an oath we take an importance to our temporal institutions. It's about our Creator Himself. And that's what brings import to the moment. That's what brings gravity to the importance of the truth of what is being said. And we get rid of these traditions at our great peril. We're going to fight them every day, Steve, but you're right. The mainstream media is burying that. Because it's frankly, they don't want everybody to know what's going on here.
Yeah, and you see the overriding point that Congressman Johnson is making there, and it's a fabulous point, and it's really kind of the truth behind. You know, they start talking about, well, you know, we don't want to force any religious test on people, blah, blah, blah. Of course, they do that when they're looking at people running for the judiciary. They've done that out in the open over the last couple of years. They say they don't believe in a religious test. That's a joke. The reason that they do this, that they want to get rid of, so help me God. And by the way, this just came out. I heard this audio today, and maybe I'll play it next week. Ilhan Omar, with respect to the abortion issue and the abortion bills going down around the country right now in a good way. She's tired of hearing people trying to force their religious views on everybody. This from the floor of the House of Representatives while wearing a hijab, that they changed the rules of the House in order to allow her to wear a hijab. So she's, quote unquote, forcing her religious beliefs onto the floor of the House of Representatives. And then she turns around and says, "I'm sick and tired of these people forcing their religious beliefs by trying to do away with a woman's right to murder her own child." Of course, she didn't speak the truth like that. I'm doing that. But that, it's just amazing. And so back to this and the issue of saying, "So help me God." Because if you say, "So help me God," you drop that G. That's the God of the Bible. Okay? In America, you say, "So help me God." It's the God of the Bible. And that, therein lies the rub. They do not want that mentioned. They don't want him mentioned because it brings a standard into the room. Now, in many ways, for these folks on the left, it brings the standard that's represented by people like, I don't know, you and me, the pro-life crowd, the pro-religious liberty crowd, bunch of right-wing zealots, right, who don't believe it's a woman has a right to do with her body whatever she wants. Actually, I do believe, ladies, that you have a right to do with your body pretty much anything you want. Not everything, but anything. But a lot of things, but not kill the body that's inside your body. That's called a baby, a human being, right? It's not your spleen. It's not some polyp. It's a human being, genetically distinct human being at the moment of conception, all right? So that's what they hear God, and that's what they associate it with. Everything that comes against their worldview. And, of course, what the basis of that is God himself. They don't want a biblical worldview in Congress anywhere because they don't want to be held accountable for their anti-biblical positions, which they trumpet loudly, do they not? And that's behind all of that thing with getting rid of God. They tried to do it in their national convention a few years ago, And the crowd was 50-50 over getting rid of the mention of God in the Democrat Party platform. Really amazing stuff. Okay, here in North Carolina, camping company CEO risks jail for flying U.S. flag over the store. That's an incredibly misleading title. And I love the flag and I love America and I'm a patriot, okay? But stick with me because sometimes I know we're being played. I'm being played, you're being played. With the rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, America over everything, okay? I love this country. I am a patriot. But this is the way I look at it now. I am a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. That is my ultimate kingdom residency. Who, by God's grace, was born into the United States of America, which I think is the greatest nation that's ever existed on the face of the planet, okay? But my primary number one allegiance is not to the flag, it's not to the Constitution, it's not to America, it's to God, okay? But beneath that, I love this country. So I get a little upset when I see the way these stories are being played, okay? Played for mostly a political narrative and to pump up the religious right, patriotic crowd, right? Get us all in a furor, then we come to the website more and buy more stuff. Marcus Lemonis is prepared to go to jail over an American flag his company is flying over one of his stores. We have flown this flag for a long time, Lemonis said. As I told the city, it's not coming down under any circumstances, okay? So far, we're like, yeah, God bless you. Lemonis is chief operating officer of Gander RV. See, this is where I don't make everybody happy on the right because I'm willing to go down this particular road, all right? Stick with me. Lemonis is chief operating officer of Gander RV. He's been flying a huge flag, 40 feet by 80 feet, 3,200 square feet, it's massive, over a store in Statesville, North Carolina. I've driven by this place many times. I've seen it myself. But city officials say the flag is too big. They filed a lawsuit May 7th against Holiday Camper Company, which is the parent company of the store, formerly known as Camping World. If Lemonis doesn't take action within 30 days, he could be jailed. Now, here's the paragraph most people won't talk about. Statesville City Attorney Leah Messick said in the filing that the company applied for a permit to fly a 40-foot by 25-foot flag, which is also enormous, but instead raised the bigger one. Quote, in June 2018, Gander RV filed an application with the Statesville Planning Department to display a 40 by 25-foot flag on its property. The permit was approved. But when the flag was raised 2 months later, it was determined the company was flying a 40 by 80-foot flag, which is prohibited by city ordinance, the filing says. Lemonis, though, said on Fox News that he's not budging. See, so now we try to spin it. It's not about the letter of the law. It's not about an agreement you made or some facts that you represented. 40 by 25 is what you got approval for. You put up 40 by 80. Lemonis on Fox News. Now watch how this gets played. I would never want to break the law or be in contempt of any court of any kind, but in this particular situation, I understand that if I don't comply with that order, that I could and would be arrested and out in jail until the flag came down, he said. I don't normally advocate for violating ordinances and things of that nature, but we have 14,000 employees and several million customers, and I have a fiduciary responsibility to follow their edict as well. See what's going on here? Are you tracking? Okay, we need to be discerning, and our allegiance needs to be to the truth. No matter where that falls, okay? Sometimes it falls on my head. Sometimes it falls on your head. Sometimes it falls on the American flag. The truth. The way the truth in life, right? If you're a Christian. Lemonis said his company flies the same flag in 180 cities, and it hasn't been a problem. Quote, we know that before the flagpole goes up and before the flag goes up, we want to ensure that people are safe. We're not messing with FAA in terms of air traffic rules, he said. Of course, because the thing's enormous. The brouhaha started last October when the city notified the company that it would be fined $50 every day until the flag came down. The tab now tops $10,000. A change.org petition has popped up titled, Let Camping World and Gander Outdoors Fly the American Flag. And all the patriots said, yeah. The petition was looking for 30,000 signatures. Right now, they have 213,000. Quote, many cities like Statesville have requested that Camping World and Gander Outdoors take down their American flags. We won't do it. Stand with us. This is about more than just a flag. This is about our veterans, military, and the men and women that have sacrificed for this great country. I would agree with that in many ways. But I think what ultimately they sacrifice for is what America stands for. And one of those things is the truth. So, hey, listen. Fly the flag size that you agreed to fly. That's not anti-patriotic. As a matter of fact, I think it's patriotic that to whatever extent you can, you render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. I don't know if the guy is a Christian or not. But if he were, that's what I would tell him. Dude, you agreed to one thing. You said one thing. You need to live with that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. They don't have a problem with the American flag. They have a problem with the size of the flag, which was not agreed to in the first place. Read the actual stories before we go off. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.